Tomato, tomato, she says with a smile. Either way, I don't feel like I need medicine, but there are going to be times that I'll think I'm sick, or that I have a disease. I'll always wonder. I've asked colleagues to do full body scans before just to give me peace of mind, but they usually laugh me off. Sweetheart, I murmur and kiss her forehead. You're a strong, healthy woman. I know. The rational side of me knows that. I have no reason to believe otherwise. It's like the bear thing or the lake thing the other day. I know better, but I can't change the thoughts.
I see.
No, you don't. And that's okay. I'd rather you didn't understand. But I appreciate you asking and not judging.
Can you tell me more about your parents? She frowns, but then shrugs.
Sure. What do you want to know?
You just didn't say too much, other than your father killed your mother in an accident, and you haven't seen him since.
That's pretty much it.
But that doesn't give me much information.
You could run his record, she replies.
Oh, I have. That's not personal, either, I remind her. She sighs.
I honestly don't think of him, ever. I know that sounds heartless, but he wasn't a great father. Or even a nice person, at least not that I remember. I remember him being drunk most of the time. He didn't work because he couldn't hold a job. Mom stressed out about money and me and everything else, and he just drank. I spent a lot of time with Abby and her parents or at my friends' homes. I preferred it, actually. He never hurt me. He didn't hit me or yell at me. He ignored me.
Sometimes that's just as bad, I reply, wanting to wrap her in my arms and protect her.
I agree. I didn't really consider him at all until the accident. I didn't think of him as dangerous. He was more of a pain in the ass. My mom was pretty great. She was soft-spoken. I have her hair and eyes, and I'm grateful for that. I don't know what it would be like to look in the mirror and see him.
I'm sure she was beautiful.
She was.
She smiles sweetly.
And she made the best cookies. She was a great cook. I didn't inherit that ability.
Too bad. She wrinkles her nose in that adorable way she does.
Yeah, too bad. Her name was Vivian, and she wasn't even 40 when she died.
Did she often ride with your dad after he'd been drinking?
Not that I know of. They didn't do much of anything together. I wasn't home that day. I decided to spend most of the winter break with Abby, and we were having a New Year's Eve party at her house with some of our friends. Mom had called earlier in the day to say hello and to check in, like she usually did. That's the last time I spoke to her. I was impatient to get off the phone so I could help decorate for the party. At about 3 in the morning, a few cops came to my aunt and uncle's house, and they set us all down and told me that my mom was gone.
I've had to go on too many of those calls. She nods.
It must suck.
It does.
I miss her. She would have been proud of me, and she probably would have moved to Montana with me.
And you never heard from your father after that.
Why would I? He never paid attention to me before. There's no reason that I would after. I didn't go to the trial. He pled no contest, so his sentence would be more lenient.
Thank you for sharing all of this with me.
You're welcome. And now we don't have to talk about it again.
She yawns and snuggles into me, burying her face in my neck. Before long, she's breathing with the even, steady breaths of sleep, and I'm still turning the story over in my head. I don't feel bad for her. She wouldn't want that. But I wish she'd had a better father in her life.
It's amazing to me that she's as healthy as she is, given the circumstances of her childhood.
She's strong and brave, and she's mine.
Sadie meets me at the door at lunchtime. I walk inside and find a glassy-eyed Hannah sitting on the couch, staring at nothing in particular. She's wearing my T-shirt again, and Sadie returns to her side.
Hi there, I say, and she looks up at me and offers me a small smile.
Hi.
Are you just waking up?
Yeah.
She pets Sadie's head.
Don't judge me. I haven't had a hangover since I was 21.
You had a lot of fun last night.
Yeah, and then I was up fucking for the rest of it.
Her eyes light up when she sees the coffee in my hand.
Is that for me?
Of course, I pass it to her. This is too, it's a breakfast sandwich.
You're really good to me.
She takes a sip of her coffee, closes her eyes, and smiles.
This is nice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Were you on time for work this morning?
Of course, I say, and scoop her up in my arms, then sit and settle her in my lap. I'm never late.
You were up all night, too.
She sips her coffee, and then lays her head on my shoulder.
Should I feel guilty?
For what?
For your lack of sleep.
I chuckle and kiss her head, smelling her hair. No, it's my own fault for not being able to keep my hands off of you.
You always say sweet things, and you do sweet things. You're just a sweet man, Brad.
Don't let it get out. I have a reputation to protect.
Ah, yes, your badass Chief Sexy Pants reputation.
Sexy what?
Sexy Pants. It's your name when you're not around.
I stared down at her in surprise. That's what you call me when I'm not around.
Only to Jenna and Grace, and not all the time.
She grins and kisses my chin.
Don't be mad. It's a complimentary nickname.
If you say so.
I'm glad you're here. It's easier to wake up when you're here rather than by myself.
Well, you have me for about 20 more minutes, then I have to go back to work.
Already?
It's noon, Hannah. I can't take the rest of the day off.
What am I going to do all afternoon?
Take Sadie for a walk. She sips her coffee, giving it thought. I do need to go get my car. I can drive you to your car.
Nah, Sadie and I will walk to get it. I'll do the walk of shame, she smiles. I've never done that before.
I guess there's a first for everything. She laughs and settles against me, and it feels like heaven just to hold her in my arms for a moment, enjoying the calm.
How is work today?
Busy. There was a home break-in last night, and a car accident this morning with one fatality. Her arm squeezes my shoulder.
I'm sorry.
Me too. So, I'll be busy this afternoon.
What do you have planned for this evening?
She asks. I'm open.
Good. I'd like to treat you to dinner.
We've discussed this. I buy dinner. She rolls her eyes.
Fine. I'd like to go out for dinner.
Done.
You're difficult. You just told me yesterday that I'm easygoing and steady. Until you're difficult.
Chapter 13. Hannah. I've cleaned the house. Sadie and I walked to town to get my car. I even cooked dinner. Brad should be home any minute, and I feel about as domestic as I ever have in my life. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, I feel good about it, but it's new. Should I be wearing an apron? Should I be naked except for the apron? That would make him smile. But then dinner would go cold because I'm quite sure he'd fuck me against the kitchen counter. I'd be disappointed if he didn't, so I'll keep my clothes on for now. Also, why am I overthinking this? It's dinner, and by dinner I mean chicken enchiladas that I slapped together because, like I told him last night, I'm not a great cook. It's not a big deal. The door to the garage opens and Brad comes in, smiling, carrying a baby carrier. I do a double take, and then frown. I knew it. What? He sets the carrier on the table and begins pulling blankets off of it, unearthing an adorable, dark-haired baby girl. I told Grace that I was sure that you had a secret baby somewhere. He just laughs and shakes his head as he pulls the baby into his arms and turns to face me. His eyes are soft, almost dewy, as he looks down at the little one. She isn't mine. That's a relief. And she isn't mine because I definitely haven't had a baby. So, whose is she? My detective's little girl. Her name is Megan. He smiles at her, and she reaches for Brad's nose. She's cute. I cross my arms over my chest, keeping a safe distance between me and them. Why is she with you? Her daddy wanted to take his wife out for dinner, but the babysitter canceled, so I volunteered to take her. It's like I don't even know you, I reply and laugh. This might be the very last thing I would expect. She loves me. he says in defense. Look. At that moment, Megan stretches her arms out to me, whimpering. Or she's trying to escape. You can take her, he suggests, and I freeze. That's okay. She's asking for you. I walk to the oven and open it, retrieving the enchiladas. I'm finishing dinner, I reply, not making eye contact. And I'm not good with babies.
Why?
Why am I not good with babies? I turn and stare at him. Megan smiles, a toothless smile, and then sticks her fist in her mouth.
Yeah, I mean, look at her.
She's beautiful. Brad's phone rings in his pocket, and when he checks the caller ID, he frowns and holds the baby out to me. Please take her, I have to take this call. He plants Megan in my arms and walks into his office, shuts the door, and I'm left with a baby.
How old are you, Megan?
I ask, holding her stiffly. She's watching my face. And then her own face crumples, and she starts to fuss.
Oh, no, don't do that.
I hold her closer to me and sway back and forth, hoping I'm doing this right.
You don't have to cry. See? It's okay.
I'm swaying and patting her back, and Megan lays her little head on my shoulder. Quiet now. Thank goodness. With the baby on my arm, I do my best to cover the enchiladas with foil and set them back in the oven on warm. They'll keep for a while. 5 minutes later, Brad comes out of the office, looking preoccupied.
Sorry about that, he says,
and stops short when he sees me.
Well, look at you.
I admit she's pretty cute. I'm still swaying her back and forth, and she's tucked her little face in my neck. Is she sleeping?
No, she's just hanging out.
He grins and walks to us, pats Megan on the back, and then kisses me softly.
You look beautiful.
Barefoot in the kitchen with a baby on my hip?
No, just beautiful, he says,
then snorts out a laugh.
But that's quite the description.
I am barefoot, I point out,
but not pregnant, so there's that.
Never, I reply, shaking my head emphatically. Megan lifts her head and looks me square in the eyes.
But you are a pretty little thing, aren't you?
She smiles widely. One day, you'll get some teeth, and then look out because everything is delicious. She giggles. That's right. All of the food is delicious.
Speaking of food, Brad says, pulling a bottle out of the bag.
He pours some formula in it, mixes it with water, and then passes it to me.
She's probably hungry.
You feed her. He just smiles and shakes his head no. I roll my eyes, take the bottle, and settle into his rocking recliner. I don't know if I'm doing this right.
Haven't you ever been around kids?
He asks as he watches me settle her against me and offer her the bottle, which she greedily takes, holding my hand and watching me with sleepy brown eyes.
Not really.
He passes me a rag so I can wipe up the drip on her chin. I didn't have siblings and I didn't babysit. I've never really felt like I'm a maternal person. She starts to cough, choking a bit. And I immediately pull the bottle down and pull her forward, helping her airway to clear. I wipe her chin again, then settle her in to eat some more.
Yeah, not maternal at all, he says.
He's smiling when I look up at him.
I wouldn't have known how to do that.
I'm a doctor, I remind him, and she wasn't choking badly. I run my fingers over her soft, fine hair, and her eyes flutter closed. She's so soft. How old is she?
About 5 months,
he replies quietly, petting Sadie. When Megan has drunk the rest of her bottle, I settle her against my shoulder to burp her. I think I saw this in a movie.
You're doing great. Also, you deliver babies.
Yes.
You don't hold them?
I pull them out and hand them to their mom or a nurse, and then I go about the task of making sure mom doesn't die.
That's important, he says, nodding. I had no idea that babies make you nervous.
Well, I'm not as nervous as I was when you first arrived. Thank goodness she's not your secret baby.
I couldn't have a secret baby in this town.
We both laugh. True. There aren't many secrets around here.
She's asleep, he says, and drags his fingertip down her cheek. She's a sweetie. I'm surprised she's not more fussy. You always hear of them crying all the time unless they're asleep. That doesn't sound fun. I always wonder, why would anyone willingly put themselves through that? Is that why you don't want kids? He asks. I pause, thinking about it. This baby is definitely adorable. She's small, fitting against my chest perfectly, and she smells so good. I could bury my nose in her and stay there all day. I mean, she's going to wake up, right?
If all goes well, yes, he says, laughing again.
And she'll cry, and probably need a lot of attention.
She's an infant, so I'd say that's a safe assumption.
I nod, still thinking it over. I guess that doesn't sound too bad. But I know without a doubt that I don't want to be pregnant. It goes back to me knowing too much. Most pregnancies are normal, but I see way too many that aren't. It's not something I've felt the need to experience for myself.
Interesting, he says, sitting back on the sofa and watching me. I guess I'd never really thought about that.
You're a man. You don't have to worry about the changes to your body or how well your body will even deal with being pregnant. And that's only the beginning. There can be so many different complications, diseases, disorders, and problems that it would take a month to list them all.
And you'd worry the entire time.
Every minute of it, I confirm. And I know it sounds...
Don't say dumb. You're not dumb, Hannah.
Well, it sounds dumb to me, I reply with a shrug. But it is what it is. I pull the sleeping baby off of my chest and into my arms so I can see her sweet face. Her lips are pursed, as if she's sucking on a nipple in her dream. Her eyelashes are long. They're always wasted on babies and men.
She looks like her mom, he says,
just as there's a knock on the door.
Speaking of which, there they are.
So soon? He tosses me a wide smile and answers the door.
She's sleeping.
Oh, good, Dan says as they come inside. His wife, whom I immediately recognize, rushes over to check on her. Dr. Malone, she says with a happy smile. What a surprise! Hi, Alice, I reply and nod to Dan.
I didn't realize this little bundle belonged to you.
You mean you didn't recognize her? Dan asks with a smile. She was a little smaller and a lot bluer that day, I reply and smile kindly at Alice. She's beautiful and healthy, and I'm so happy for you. She's here because of you, Alice says with tears in her eyes, and wraps her arms around both of us, hugging us. You saved us. That's the job, I say, and pass the baby to her mama. And I have to tell you, this might be the first time I've spent time with a baby that I delivered. It was fun. I had no idea this tiny baby was that Megan.
Well, thanks to both of you for taking her so we could have an uninterrupted dinner out, Dan says, shaking Brad's hand. It was nice.
My pleasure, Brad says. He runs out to the garage to get the car seat base. And when they've left with the baby, he turns to me with a raised eyebrow.
I didn't know that you were the doctor who delivered her.
I was.
That was a shit show.
It was. I nod, not allowed to talk freely with Brad about the medical history. But as you can see, it all worked out. He frowns and looks down. And then without looking me in the eyes, he just pulls me in and hugs me tightly.
Dan would have lost both of them if it hadn't been for you. And I just want to say thank you for saving them both. Dan's a good friend.
It's the job, I repeat, but hug him back fiercely. And I'm happy that it all worked out for the best. He kisses my head, breathing me in.
Me too.
My car smells like heaven the next morning. The aroma of coffee and donuts fills the space around me, and I just want to pull over and eat and drink it all myself. That's not possible, but it doesn't make me want it any less. I park in front of the police station and carry 4 dozen donuts and a gallon of hot coffee inside. Then I run back out for the special individual coffee for Brad.
As I walk back inside, Brad is approaching the desk with the donuts, where at least 6 other men are already loading up on sugar and caffeine. "This one is for you," I say, and hand him the cup. "The lady at Sips said this is what you usually order." His eyes intently watch me as he takes a sip.
"She was right. What's all this?"
"Well, I know it's a cliche, but I thought everyone might enjoy some coffee and donuts."
"You thought right,"
Dan says with a grin. Several other uniformed officers nod in agreement.
"And these are the best donuts in town."
"I know." I reach out and snatch up a maple bar. "So good." "Come into my office," Brad says. But I shake my head no. "I have errands."
"Do you have 2 minutes?"
he asks. The look on his face says he needs to talk to me. So I nod and follow him into his office, munching on my donut. "What's up?" He doesn't answer. Instead, he sweeps me up into a passionate kiss. He doesn't even care that I have maple glaze on my lips.
"You're sweet," he murmurs against me.
"It's the donut." He grins and kisses me one more time, then sets me away from him.
"No, it's you. You didn't have to do that for my guys."
"I know. It was fun." I smile and take another bite of my donut. I might as well take advantage of this whole week off thing and spoil us a little bit.
"Don't spoil them too much, they'll get soft."
"Yes, sir." I offer him a mock salute and open the office door. "I'm going to get a massage now."
"Good for you. And then?"
"I think I'll wander around downtown and look for a birthday gift for my cousin Abby."
"Have a good day, sweetheart."
I smile and close his door behind me, waving to the guys who are smiling at me as I walk past. I've made some friends this morning. I'm loading up on way too much Huckleberry stuff. Syrup, jam, pancake mix, even chocolate. I can't help myself. I've turned into a tourist in my own damn town. I've wandered my way through just about every shop on Main Street in downtown Cunningham Falls. Not only did I find the cutest outfit and pair of earrings for Abby, but I found all of this Huckleberry stuff, a painting for the living room of my house, and I might have splurged on ice cream. Okay, I totally did. I feel fantastic after my massage. It's a warm 80 degrees outside, perfect for roaming around without getting too hot. And it's the middle of a weekday, so the tourists aren't as obnoxious as they would be on a Saturday. Just as I'm about to walk in to dress it up, I hear my name being called from across the street.
"Hannah!"
"Hey," I reply, happy to see my friend and patient, Jillian King, as she pushes her stroller across the street to join me. She has her twins with her, and her face is glowing with happiness as she joins me. "How are you?"
"Oh, I'm great," she says, panting a bit. "I took the afternoon off to take the kids to the park. It's too pretty out to waste it."
I agree. I kneel in front of the stroller and smile at the little girl and little boy who stare back at me with curiosity. "Hello there, Sarah and Miles." They grin, and Miles offers me a high five. "They're adorable," I say as I stand to talk to Jillian. "I can't believe how big they are."
"They'll be 3 soon," she says, sighing. "And I'm going to have to come see you soon as well."
"Check up?" She shakes her head no and gives me a happy smile.
"We're expecting. I think at least 80% of the people I know are pregnant," I reply with a laugh.
"Congratulations."
"What are the odds that it's twins again?" she asks nervously.
"Not high," I assure her. "Even though your husband is a twin, the odds are low."
"Thank God. I love these two, but they're a handful. Having just one infant will be a walk in the park."
"That's the way to look at it. How is Kara?" Kara and Jillian are best friends, and each married twin brothers a few years ago. They live out at the King Brothers Ranch, in separate homes, of course. The Kings own thousands of acres just west of town.
"She's great. I think she and Josh are finished having babies. 2 are enough for them."
"Well, I'd love to see you all soon," I reply. "And I'll look for you on my schedule."
"Thanks,"
she says with a smile. "And now we're off to the park." She walks away in the direction of the city park down the street. and I walk in to dress it up to see if I can find something new. I've shopped like a pro today. I might as well keep it going.
Hannah, Willa says with a smile. It's nice to see you. Can I help you find anything?
I'm just out shopping today, I reply. I know I said this the other night, but I have to say it again. This store is so pretty.
I know, my inner girly girl went crazy when we were decorating. And I just can't be sorry.
You shouldn't be. It makes me want to buy pretty things. And I would think that was the intention.
Absolutely, and it's good to hear that it worked, she says, nodding. Plus, when you're a single mother of a little boy, it's nice to be around girly things sometimes.
I'm sure. You have a son?
I do. He's 8. She reaches behind the glass display case that she uses for the cash register and grabs her phone, pulling up a photo. Alexander, but we call him Alex for short. A brunette boy with dimples and a mischievous grin stares back at me.
He's a cutie.
He's a terror, she corrects me and tucks her phone away. But he's 8 and he's a boy. So I'm told that being a terror is normal.
I think so.
So, you're dating Brad? She asks without apology. Her chin is up, her eyes on mine, and I respect her even more. She's not trying to gossip. She's asking for information.
We've been dating for a few weeks.
Geez, more than that now, I guess. I've known the Hulls for a long time, and I can tell you they don't get better than Brad.
I'm glad you think so.
Don't worry, she says, waving me off and straightening a shirt on a hanger. I don't have a crush on him. If anything, I feel sisterly toward him. I dated Max for a while, 1 million years ago.
I heard, I reply, and then shrug when she raises a brow.
Small town, Willa, and I'm friends with Jenna.
Oh, that's right.
She nods and then laughs. Max was a long time ago, but I still have a soft spot for his family. They were nice to me.
They're nice people.
Exactly. So, I just wanted to let you know that Brad is what you see. He's a good man, hard worker, handsome fella, and good for you for snagging him.
Dating in this town is hard, I reply, and she emphatically nods her head.
Tell me about it. I'm either related to half the town, or I know too much about them. Or they're only here on vacation. Not to mention I have a kid and he comes first, always.
As it should be.
A lot of men don't get that.
A lot of men aren't worth your time then.
She stops and smiles at me.
I like you.
My phone pings with a text from Brad. Meet me at your place at 5 o'clock.
Speak of the devil, I murmur,
and reply with, sure.
Enjoy him, Willa says.
Make him loosen up a bit. He's so stuffy. I nod and wave as I leave her store and decide to head home for a shower before Brad arrives.
Funny. He's not stuffy with me.
Hot, sexy, funny, but not stuffy.
Chapter 14. Brad. This is intimidating. I'm standing next to Jenna and Max, staring up at the tree houses that are currently under construction. They are about 30 feet in the air, supported by metal beams that will eventually be hidden by faux bark, making the supports look like trees. Tree houses, Max murmurs, and then smiles down at Jenna. Only you would come up with something like this. It's been in my head for years, she replies with a shrug, and it's going to be so cool if I can get the contractor to stay on budget. This is the second one I'll have to fire in less than a month. The budget is 1 million, Max reminds her with a frown. I know, and he's almost reached it already, and we're only halfway there. I would take over and just do it myself, but these buildings are off the ground. I need an expert for this. Max and I share a look of concern, and then we go off in search of the contractor together. We find him, sitting on the circular staircase in the biggest of the three houses, sipping coffee and laughing with a colleague. Oh, hi there, Max and Brad. He doesn't acknowledge Jenna at all, which has me balling my hands into fists. We need to talk, Jenna says.
but he won't make eye contact with her. Mr. Jefferson, we need to discuss the budget. Oh, no need to worry, he says, but Jenna sets her hands on her hips and glares at him. You've almost reached my top budget, and you're only halfway finished with the project. Well, that can happen sometimes, especially when the woman in charge likes expensive things, he says, and winks at me. But I just narrow my eyes at him, and he loses his smug grin, clearing his throat. Brad, I'm sure you know. I don't, I interrupt. This is Jenna's project, and you clearly don't respect that. The budget is the budget, Max adds, and you don't respect that either. You're fired, Jenna says. Jason Jefferson's eyes bulge and he starts to sputter. What do you mean? Fired, Jenna repeats. Out. Canned. Done. I want you off my property in 20 minutes. You can't use my guys, he says nastily. If I go, they go. Fine, Jenna replies, not looking at him. I'll find someone else. I'll spread rumors, he begins, but I walk forward and push my nose into his face. You'll what? I'll spread rumors, he repeats, not backing down. I'll tell everyone that she sleeps with the crew and her brothers try to intimidate us. I'm not trying, I say, and lean in further, not touching him. I'm doing. Despite it being a dick move, I understand that in a small town, a man doesn't want to take orders from a woman. But it's the goddamn 21st century, and this is Jenna's work site. It'll be run the way she sees fit, and she wants you gone. Fine, he snarls and nods to his employee. Pack up. Let's get out of here. I'm an independent contractor, the young man says, and turns to Jenna. He's not my boss. I'd like to stay. You're welcome to stay, Bubba, she says with a smile. Anyone else who wants to stay and work for me is welcome to do so. Bubba nods and leaves the house, walking out to talk to the others. You need to leave, she says to Jason, who's seething, and if you try to spread rumors about me or my brothers, I'll start telling the truth about your work ethic and ruin your business. I don't want to do that. I think this project was just too big for you, and that's okay, but it's time to call it quits. You're a bitch, he snarls and stomps away, gathering his tools. I hope he doesn't come back here to destroy what we've already done, she murmurs. He won't, Max says, shaking his head. He can't chance jail time and ruining his business. He's just butthurt. Who are you going to hire? I ask her. I have a few calls out, she replies. I'll get someone new right away. This project is too fun and too different. Someone will want it. I'm also going to showcase it in the Parade of Homes later this year, so they'll get exposure there as well. Man, Jason is a stupid son of a bitch, I reply. But I'm glad he's gone. You don't want someone here like that. He wasn't always, she says, and walks into the area where the kitchen will be. He was excited in the beginning, but I meant it when I said that it got to be more than he could handle. I wish he had just been honest about it from the beginning. Male egos are fragile. That they are, Max says with a grin. I can put up more money if you need it. I will, she says with a sigh. Thanks to Jason, but I know that this place will pay for itself in the first 3 years, even with the added budget. I agree, Max replies with a nod. Now that I see it in person, I know it's going to be impressive. Just wait, she says with an excited grin. Mr. Hull? Bubba comes back into the house with a smile. Now, I've discussed it with the other guys, and they'd also like to stay and be a part of the project. It's not my project, Max reminds him. You all need to talk to Jenna. Always. Of course, Bubba says, and offers Jenna a chagrined smile. Sorry about that. We'd like to stay if you'll have us. Let's have a quick meeting, she replies and walks outside.
Everyone who wants to stay on this project, I want you to report inside now, please. She has her boss hat on now, and I admit it's impressive. I'm proud of my little sister. Once everyone has gathered inside, about 8 men, she smiles at them, and then gets to business. I'm thankful that you'd all like to stay on the project. It's important to me, and it's going to be wonderful when it's finished, but you all need to understand. I'm the boss, always, every day. My brothers are investors, but that's it. Max and I both hang in the back, our arms crossed over our chests, and watch her take the lead. If you have any issues with that, you're welcome to leave now. She pauses and waits, but no one leaves. Great. I'll be hiring another contractor this week, and he will also be a point of contact for you. We will continue with Friday lunches being brought in, as we have been. I want you to be happy and productive.
I don't have any issues with you at all, one of the men says. You're fair, you're firm, and you're kind to us.
Yes, well, Jenna says with a laugh, I think we all agree with you. Thanks for being here, guys. We are behind schedule. We'll pick up the pace, someone else says. It'll get done on time. The rest of the men nod in agreement, and a few moments later, they go back to work, and Jenna lets out a big sigh of relief. That could have gone very badly. They respect you, Max says, and they like you, I add. It goes a long way. She nods, and then runs off out of the house. Sorry, guys, I remembered something I have to do in the other house. Max and I shrug, and wander out onto the large balcony that looks out onto the ski slopes. Green now, with summer grass and bright flowers. It's a good spot, Max says.
I had my doubts, but she has something special here.
Speaking of something special, Max begins, tell me about Hannah.
Touch her, and I'll kill you.
He laughs and shakes his head. No, asshole, tell me about you and Hannah.
I like her, I shrug, as if it's no big deal, and lean on the railing, not meeting his eyes with mine.
And? What are you, a woman? Do you want me to tell you all about our first kiss?
Sure, he laughs.
You've always been the quiet one. You don't talk about personal things often.
They're personal.
And you're difficult.
What do you want to hear?
That I'm in love with her? That I can't imagine what life was like without her?
That's a start. It's too soon, I mutter, and shake my head in frustration. It's been less than 2 months.
So? I jerk my gaze to his. Who gives a fuck about how much time has passed? You're not strangers, and you've spent enough time together to know how you feel about her.
She's amazing, I reply simply. She has the next few days off of work, and I'd like to do something special for her.
Can you take some time off work? Max asks.
Yeah, I have plenty of paid time off coming.
I have an idea, he says. Take her to my condo in Laguna Beach. Use the plane.
Impress her, I reply, not hating the idea.
Treat her, he counters. Go live it up a little.
I don't like taking advantage of you.
Jesus Christ, he mutters and pushes his hand through his hair. I understand that you don't want me to pay off your house, but for fuck's sake, Brad, I own these things outright, and I'm not using them. You should use them. Take your girl for a romantic weekend at the beach.
Okay. He looks up, his eyes wide with surprise. Yeah? Yeah, that would be fun. Thank you.
Max lets out a sigh. I thought you'd never agree to it.
I'm proud of you, I say, and turn to face him. I couldn't be more proud. You've made more money than you can ever spend on your own, and you did it with grit and determination. You're smart. Of course I'm proud of you. But those things are yours, not mine. I like making my own way.
I know, and I respect that. But using some of the things I've made or bought isn't freeloading. I want to share all of this with my family. Otherwise, what's the fucking point?
I blink, not thinking of it this way before.
Thanks for that. You're welcome. Now go soak up some beach time with Hannah. Have vacation sex. Laugh. I think you both could use it.
That's the truth. I need to make arrangements at work, but is the jet available this afternoon? It's ready when you are.
Can you keep Sadie?
Of course. That dog loves me more than she does you.
Whatever.
I'll call down to the condo and tell them you're coming. Everything will be ready for you.
I owe you.
No, you don't. That's the whole point.
Work is squared away. I was surprised by how easily they all agreed to look after things for me while I'm gone.
I guess it's been a minute since I took a vacation. Sadie is safely with Max, my house is locked up tight, and I've called the airport. The plane is ready. Max has owned it for a few years, but I've only ridden in it once before. It feels odd, indulgent, ridiculous, honestly. I mean, why would I need to ride in a private plane? But Hannah will get a kick out of it. I've seen photos of Max's condo in Southern California. We'll both get a kick out of that. I haven't been excited for a trip like this in a long time. I pull up to Hannah's house and see her car parked in the drive. She's at her computer when I walk inside, her gorgeous red hair piled on her head, and she's only wearing a tank top and panties. Her legs pulled up under her in the chair. She's a fucking wet dream. But we don't have time for me to live out the dream right now. Hi, sweetheart. She smiles and looks up, offering her lips for a kiss, which I gladly accept. I sink into her, kissing her much more deeply than I'd planned, and I have to tear myself away from her if we're going to leave the house today. I have a surprise for you.
Really?
Her smile widens.
Flowers?
Better.
Coffee?
Better. She lifts a brow.
Better than coffee?
Oh, yeah. I want you to pack a bag. She frowns now and stands up out of the chair, and my semi-hard-on is now at full alert.
Where are we going?
It's a surprise. You'll also need pants.
Will I need a passport?
Not this time. I grin and cup her cheek, unable to keep myself from touching her. We're just going away for a few days.
Warm or cold climate?
Why?
I need to know what to pack, Chief Sexy Pants.
I cringe at the horrible nickname.
Warm. Think beach. Oh, the beach!
She claps her hands and jogs to her closet. How fun! I'll take lots of flip-flops, a few bathing suits. She pokes her head around the door jamb, her hair falling in her eyes.
Will we need to dress up for anything?
Possibly. She narrows her eyes and then shrugs.
Okay, I'll pack a sundress, shorts, tanks, maybe a sweater in case it's cold in the evenings.
We're only going for a few days. I remind her as she rushes past me to the bathroom.
I know, but you just never know what I might need.
All the makeup, hair stuff. She gathers all the girl products in the world into her arms and tosses them into her suitcase, then proceeds to organize everything just so.
Okay, I think I have everything. Do I need to do my hair and makeup for the plane?
No. I take her shoulders in my hands and turn her to me. You look beautiful just like this.
I'm a mess.
I don't think so.
And I'm not wearing pants.
That doesn't bother me either. She chuckles and kisses my chin.
When do we have to leave?
In about 30 minutes.
Her eyes go wide. Brad, we won't make the plane in time.
She rushes to pull on shorts, slips into sandals, and zips her suitcase closed.
We have to hurry.
Chapter 15. Hannah. I don't know why he's so calm. We have minutes to get to the gate in time. There's no way they'll let us through security now. Is this what I'm destined to deal with all the time if I stay with him forever? Because I have to be honest, I can't do that. I'm way too organized for that. I get to the airport at least an hour before the flight takes off. I mean, who shows up with only a few minutes to spare?
It's going to be fine, Brad says with a smile as he turns toward the airport.
Do you want to just drop me off and I'll run in and check us in?
No.
I stare at him and then shake my head, completely knotted up inside. But I should calm down. This is his show, and if the plane leaves without us, that's not my fault. Yeah, that's it. Rather than pull into the parking lot, he takes a turn on what looks like an employee's road that winds behind the airport, back where the planes are parked. We're going to get in trouble, I mutter, but he just chuckles next to me. Who are you? You're acting very weird.
Relax. I know that's not easy for you, but I've got this. We're not getting in trouble. I sigh, not believing him in the least, but decide to take both our advice. What's the worst that will happen? We won't go on this trip? Hell, an hour ago I didn't even know there was a trip. He turns away from the commercial airliners and drives over to a smaller plane that has the main door open. The stairs pushed against it like it's waiting for passengers. This is our ride, he says casually, and parks about 10 yards from the plane. This? Yes, ma'am. He winks before getting out of his truck, talks to a member of the ground crew, and opens my door for me. Your carriage awaits. We're taking a private plane? We are. I hop out of his truck and stare at the gleaming white and black jet, completely shocked. Wow. Hi, Chief. A man steps out of the plane and shakes Brad's hand. We're ready when you are, sir. Great, thanks. We're ready any time. Hannah, this is Jeremy. He's the pilot today. It's a great day for a flight. Smooth sailing the whole way. He smiles and walks back inside the plane and disappears. I requested that we not have a flight attendant today, he says with a smile, and leads me inside the jet. It's bigger than I thought it would be. There are at least a dozen plush leather seats, all comfortable recliners that swivel. There's a bathroom in the back, and there's a galley with snacks and drinks if you want anything. I'm fine, I reply, completely shocked. This is gorgeous. How did you manage this? It's Max's plane, he says, and helps me fasten my seatbelt. The pilot quickly comes back to go over safety features and introduce us to the co-pilot, and then he disappears behind the door leading to the cockpit, and I hear the engines start. We're using all of his fun toys over the next few days. That's pretty cool. The seat feels like a big hug, wrapping around my body and cradling me. This might be the most comfortable airplane seat I've ever been in. I'm glad you like it. What's not to like? It's a super fancy treat. Max seems nice. I like him, Brad replies with a shrug. He's generous, and he hasn't let all the money go to his head. That's good. I nod and watch as Brad takes a seat across from me, swivels to face me, and clicks his own seatbelt closed. He crosses one ankle over the opposite knee and rubs his fingers over his mouth, watching me with hot green eyes. What's wrong? There's no fucking love seat or couch on this plane, he says immediately. As soon as we're airborne, I'm pulling you into my lap. I laugh, but electricity is zinging through me at the intensity of his voice. I guess I've been warned. He doesn't reply, and we're quiet as the plane picks up speed down the runway and takes off. I glance outside, surprised that the plane ride isn't bumpier as it climbs away from the green trees and blue lakes below into the sky. A smaller plane usually means more turbulence, I comment, and turn to find him still watching me. This plane is pretty steady. I nod and squeeze my legs closed, completely taken off guard at the sexual tension in the air. If I thought it was there earlier at my house, it's nothing like right now. I'm going to have sex in an airplane. That's new. We sit staring at each other until there's a ding over the speakers that signals we're at cruising altitude and we're safe to move about. Within seconds, Brad is out of his seat and next to me, unclipping my seatbelt and lifting me into his arms. My hands dive into his hair as his lips find mine, and it's like we're starved for each other, like we haven't been together in ages rather than just this morning. Rather than sit with me in his lap, Brad quickly strips us both out of our clothes and guides me down to sit in my seat, scooted forward so my ass is at the very edge of the chair. The next thing I know, he pushes my legs up, spreads them wide, and buries his face in my core, making me bite my lip to keep from crying out. I don't need to alert the pilots to the show happening 20 feet behind them. You're so damn sweet, he growls, watching me as he licks and nibbles, then pulls my lips into his mouth and makes a pulsing motion, succeeding in puckering my nipples. I'm quite sure I'm going to have a bloody lip by the time this is over. And I couldn't care less. You can make noise, he says. No way. I have to grip the arms of the chair for dear life, not worried in the least that I might pierce the leather with my nails. They can hear. No, they can't. He grins and pushes a finger inside me, watching me almost leisurely. They have headsets on to talk to air traffic control. They're in their own world. I gasp when he pushes a second finger inside me and makes a come-here motion, making me quiver and see stars all at once. Oh, God. That's right. I can't even. Oh, yes, you can. He lowers his mouth to my clit, and that's it. I explode into a million pieces. Without missing a beat, he wraps his arms around my back and picks me up, settling in the seat, and me on top of him, straddling his hips. I lower myself onto him, and when he's buried as far as he can go, I lean in and kiss his mouth, loving the smell and taste of me on his lips. You make me crazy, I whisper. Not nearly as crazy as you make me, he counters, gripping my ass and urging me to move up and down in a long, quick motion. I couldn't wait to get airborne so I could have my way with you. I have to admit this is a first. He fists his hand in my hair and pulls me down to kiss him. You make me want things I never have before, Hannah. Like what? I bear down and squeeze, making him clench his teeth. This. Sex where someone could hear. You said they can't hear. He grins. Well, they probably can't. I pause, momentarily mortified, and then throw caution to the wind and move faster, bearing down harder. Trying to make me come? Hell yes, I reply and bite his neck. And I want you to be loud. His fingertips dig into my hips and every muscle in his body tightens as I continue to nibble and bite. And when I sink my fingers into his hair again, he cries out and comes apart, leaving me with a very satisfied smile. You look like the cat that ate the canary. Or the girl who made you come, I counter. I'll have bruises on my ass later. He frowns. I'm sorry. Don't ever apologize for that, I reply as I stand and walk, naked, to the back of the plane. Once I've cleaned up, I return to find Brad already dressed, my clothes laid out on the chair we just had wild plane sex on. I watch him as I pull on my clothes, fluff my hair, and sit opposite him, the way we started this trip. Would you like something to drink? He asks casually, his voice calm. You sure do switch gears quickly. I always want you, Hannah. I could take you again right now. But we'll take a break. In the meantime, I'm thirsty. Me too. I smile gratefully, my nipples puckered all over again. A Coke would be great. Done. He stands to go fetch our drinks, but pauses to lean in and kiss me thoroughly. I'm going to fuck you frequently over the next few days. Thank God. Jesus! I drop my handbag on the table by the doorway of the condo and stop to stare straight ahead. It's all beautiful, but the view is already my favorite part, and I'm barely inside. We're on the top floor of an owner's building of this resort on the beach in Southern California. Laguna Beach, to be exact. I've never been any farther west than Montana, and never to an ocean. This is just spectacular. The penthouse has 3 bedrooms. Brad begins as he carries the luggage into a bedroom, and then returns to look at me, then the view, and back at me again. Hannah? Yeah? Are you okay? The ocean is bright blue and disappears into a sky just as blue as the water. There are palm trees and brown sand and a pool with the sunshine embedded in the tile below us. I turn to stare at Brad, and then launch myself into his arms, kissing him crazy. I take it that's a yes, he says with a smile when I pull back. I've never seen anything like this. Is this your first time to the ocean?
I nod, and when he sets me on my feet, I make a beeline for the sliding glass doors that lead out to a covered balcony, big enough for a dining table that seats six, a gas fire pit, and a sectional sofa. This is amazing! Max chose well when he bought this place, Brad replies as he joins me at the railing. He says it's a good investment, and while I'm sure that's true, he also spends quite a bit of time here. Why would he ever go home to Montana? Have you seen his house there? I shake my head no, and he grins. It may not have this view, but it's pretty great as well. Come on. I want to show you the condo, and then we can do whatever you want. He takes my hand and leads me inside, pointing out five bathrooms, three of which are attached to bedrooms, a formal living space, and a dining room off of a gleaming white gourmet kitchen. When he takes me into the master bedroom and shows me the adjoining bath and closet, all I can do is laugh. You've got to be kidding me. This is a vacation home?
I know, it's crazy.
Brad, this closet is my dream closet. I turn in a circle, taking it in. It must be 200 square feet with floor-to-ceiling shelving and built-in dressers. There's a vanity area and a chandelier hanging from the ceiling over an island with more drawer space. It's mostly empty, I murmur.
Max is single, Brad reminds me, and he's here about 6 months out of the year.
A woman should be using this closet. I need to set him up with someone. He laughs and tucks my hair behind my ear.
He does fine by himself. We'll take the smaller master suite on the other side of the condo. It also has a suite bathroom and an ocean view. I'm not going to have sex in my brother's bed.
Ew, no. I laugh and follow him back to the living room. This is just amazing. Thank you for bringing me here.
There was no way you'd survive a whole week off at home, he says with a laugh.
I've taken weeks off before.
Not unplanned, he points out,
and I have to nod in agreement.
This way, you're really on vacation. No need to feel guilty for being lazy or indulgent.
You're good to me. He simply smiles and kisses my forehead.
What would you like to do first?
I'm putting my bathing suit on, grabbing my iPad, and parking my ass by the pool to read a book.
Excellent, he says with a smile. Let's do it.
I can't believe I fell asleep by the pool, I grumble later that evening at dinner. It's a bit early, but I woke up starving. So Brad took me back to the condo to change clothes so we could eat at one of the resort restaurants. Our table is by the window so I can look out at the water. Thanks for pulling the umbrella over me.
I know you say you tan, but that much sun can't be good for a redhead.
He spreads some butter on a piece of bread and passes it to me.
Here, eat.
Yes, sir. I take a bite and close my eyes in happiness.
Oh, it's fresh out of the oven. Keep making that face, he says quietly.
My eyes fly up to his in confusion.
I'm already hard, he says,
and takes a bite of his own bread.
You're about 3 seconds from me carrying you out of here.
I smirk and take another bite. We ordered pasta, and I can't wait. If it's half as good as this bread, I'll be in heaven. Did I miss anything good during my nap?
No,
he replies with a smile.
And you looked sexy as hell with your sunglasses on, your iPad resting on your chest.
What did you do?
I got a little work done. I took a call and sent an email on my phone.
Our food is delivered, smelling absolutely delicious. I take a bite and decide on the spot that I want to live here all the time.
This is so good. Delicious, he agrees, but I shake my head no.
All of it. The plane, the condo, the ocean. Being here and doing it all with you, it's amazing. And I know that you didn't have to take time from work, and that doing so at the last minute was probably stressful, so thank you. I won't complain or say you shouldn't have, because frankly, it's all too fantastic. I'm so happy that you did, but I know it wasn't easy.
I haven't taken time away in a long time myself, he admits. Too long, honestly. My crew was happy to see me go. and I know they have everything handled. I just had a few things to wrap up, and you napping gave me the opportunity to do that. But you're welcome.